Welcome to the Finance Path Podcast, where we discuss all your burning questions relating to money, property, and investment for every stage of life. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Attard and Chris Collard.
Welcome, listeners, to another Money, Property, and You podcast. And off the back of our last one, where we caught up with Amanda Thompson from Chisholm & Gaiman Estate Agents, we thought we'd continue our focus on property in the spring selling season. Now, before I introduce my guest, yes, listeners, you are hearing to the croaky voice of myself again. Safe to say that the spring season hasn't been treating me that well. And as I think I alluded to earlier, I got through the winter period, but spring has taken a toll on me. So bear with me. You've got another 25 to 30 minutes of a croaky voice, but I'm sure that will be overridden by the joy and interest that we're going to have in our podcast today. I'm joined by a very busy person, Georgia Kay from Designs to Inspire. Welcome, Georgia.
Thank you, Mark.
Georgia, you run a very successful home staging business. And as I said, we touched on this in our podcast with Amanda last week. When you're selling a home, it's all about the home staging these days. So give us a bit of background into how you got into home staging.
Okay, Mark. So basically, my background's the corporate world, several years. Finished up there, stay-home mum for a good almost 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Yeah, raising the kids. And then I thought to myself, look, I've really got to start doing something that I love and that I'm passionate about. And I've always been passionate about homes, presentation, design, etc.
Yeah.
So I started studying part-time.
Okay, so what did you study? Interior design.
Yep. So, and that's what I did. So kids were at school and I thought, look, I've got a bit of time to myself. I'll start doing a course in interior design.
So that's quite a change then. So the corporate world, what were you doing in the corporate world?
I was in finance, accounting, business analyst.
All that sort of exciting stuff with numbers.
Oh, really exciting, staring at a screen all day. Yeah. Punching in numbers, just really, really creative.
Yeah. Cool. So you did you always have that creative bent? And so how did you arrive at interior design?
Yeah. So basically, I've always had that creative aspiration.
Yep.
So basically, home one day, minding my own business, doing my course. Actually, no, I'd finished and there was a knock at the door and there was a lovely lady and I'll never forget her. Her name was Kerry. And I opened the door and, you know, and she was a real estate agent.
Yeah, okay.
And sad to say, but if it was a bloke, I probably wouldn't have opened the door, but she looked like a lovely, well-presented lady. So anyway, opened the door and we started chatting and I said, no, I'm not interested in selling my home. And she said, oh, well, who designed it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, look, I did. I'm an interior designer. And it all started from there. She turned around and said, look, you know what? We need someone down at our office. And why don't you come down and meet the team one day?
Yeah,
I'd love to introduce you. And that's where it all started.
So the proof was in it was in your own place. It's
so
actually
the opportunity came knocking literally.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's really interesting actually. You say my wife's in a very was in a very similar situation like right now. So we just had our third child about 2 months ago. Maybe that's why I got the croaky voice. I just thought about that then. Maybe it's the little fella's fault. But she finished up in the corporate world. She was in sales and marketing, and she always had a desire to get into interior design. So she actually just finished a colour and design course with the International School of Colour and Design with an idea, and I don't know if she's actually really formalised this, to get into something similar along these types of lines.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so there you go. So a very similar story. Yeah. So talk to me more specifically around what home staging actually is.
Yeah. So basically it's about presenting your property to the best that you can for sale. So it's basically focusing on sale, not for you to live in.
Okay.
It's about us coming in, presenting your home, making it stylish, making it attractive so that you've got good images online that will attract more buyers to your door. So it's all about selling.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just glamming it up, giving it a look of today, a look that the target market will aspire to. So it's all about that. It's all about bond in and playing with emotions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So making it there. And again, a property purchase more often than not is an emotional one.
Absolutely.
And you talked about, so talk me through a little bit more about how long it takes and what's actually involved in the process. If someone's thinking out there listening and they've been thinking about putting their property on the market in the spring selling season, or it might be even in the new year, talk us through the process.
Yeah, so basically I meet with the vendor or the homeowner, initially, and I'll go out there and I'll have a look around their property and discuss what I do and give them a quotation. Based on that quote, if they want to go ahead, then I put a plan together, a design plan that's going to suit that property.
And what does that design plan look like? Okay. Like, is that a bit of paper?
No. Well, not a design plan as in just noting the styles, the colour.
Okay. Yep.
And the quantity of furniture and the number of bedrooms and the number of living areas. It isn't like a floor plan as such.
Yep.
I mean, the floor plan is pretty much photographed in my mind.
Yep.
But so the design plan, how many bedrooms, how many living areas, the style, are we going traditional, are we going contemporary, who's our market?
Yeah.
So that's the plan. So basically, so once I've seen a property, and the client's happy to go ahead, I'll put together that plan. On the day of installation, basically, it can average from 2 hours for an apartment to 4 or 5 hours for a relatively large home.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So it just all depends. But it's not a whole day thing.
Yeah.
Usually half a day. I mean, we do a few properties.
Yeah.
Excuse the croaky throat, so you're not the only one suffering.
It's catchy. Yep.
It is very catchy. So, we can do 2 or 3 properties in one day, depending on the size.
Yeah.
So from smaller properties, from time of loading things on the truck to the time of arriving at a property and then unloading, and then I've got a couple of stylists, 2 or 3 stylists at the one property, putting it all together, making the beds, hanging the artwork, putting the accessories together, it depends. Yeah. 3-4 hours for a substantial home.
Yeah, yeah. And that process for you to put that plan together and then come up with that, is that a day, week sort of thing?
That's a few hours. Look, after you've done quite a few, a lot of the properties are very similar. Do you know what I mean? Especially the new builds.
Yeah.
The new builds are almost becoming, they're just carbon copies of one another.
Okay.
No, that process is pretty quick. I mean, that takes me a good hour or two in the evening just to sit back and have my thought process. I get my team involved.
Yeah.
I'll show them images of the property that's potentially coming up, and I'll say, girls, what do you think? What would you propose for this? What do we have in the warehouse? What properties have sold? What can we put together and make a story and a complete package for this?
Yeah, okay. So there's a couple of things there. So would I have to have the whole property? Do you pick and choose? Like, you might just select certain rooms, or is it always all the house? Okay. Or how do you go about that?
So there are some properties out there where they'll say, Georgia, I don't need a full package. I'm living in the home. I have my living room. I've got a few spare bedrooms that were never furnished. I've got a formal living area that never got furnished. So I want you to focus on those. So we call them partial staging or styling.
And is that then important then for you to be able to match and get a theme going through what they've got? Yeah.
That is harder than doing a property with a blank canvas, because naturally you use your own stock, you have it all flowing, everything's in rhythm.
Yeah.
And trying to time with other people's tastes,
which is just their taste.
It can be tricky. It's challenging.
Yep.
Really challenging.
Yeah. I always recall when I met my now wife, I had this blue velvet type couch that I absolutely loved. Yeah. Is it back? Is it? See, I knew it was going to come back. And there was a period there where she refused to even come over and sit on the thing because she thought it was terrible. So I'll let her know that it's back in vogue.
That's exactly right. So it can be tricky, but nevertheless, we do them, and that's all part of it. We like a challenge every so often. So
you mentioned something really important there around the understanding the target market.
Absolutely.
So off the back of that, do you get involved before an agent is engaged, or is it quite often, my understanding, the agent will engage a home stage, someone to come in and style the property?
Yeah, bit of both.
Okay.
Bit of both. I would say the majority, 2/3, the referral is through an agent.
Yep.
So the agents brief me.
Yep.
But it's more prominent now that we're just getting direct calls through you know, repeat customers through word of mouth, through our, you know, Google online presence. Okay. So I'm getting a lot, I'm visiting a lot of properties where I have no clue who the agent is, and it doesn't really, doesn't really faze me.
It's, so that's an important thing. So do you, when an agent has been involved, or does the process change at all in terms of having a chat with the agent and getting understanding of who they think the potential buyers are going to be? Or is that something that over the journey you get a feel and an understanding for yourself anyway?
You do. I mean, look, I'm very familiar now, having done this now for 5 years. I know the target market of most areas. If we go to a new suburb that I'd never been before, if I'd never been to before, I should say, then I'll ask the agent, I'll say, look, who are you trying to market this at? Is it a young family? Are we doing young corporate executives? Just so that I can, you know, if it's a young family, for example, what we try and do is some of the bedrooms, we make one a bit more masculine and one a bit more feminine. Okay. Do you know what I mean? One a bit more girlish and boyish.
Just so about that, creating the picture.
Yeah, for do you know what I mean? Just little things like that. So, and it does help. You know, if the young executives, more in the city, it's a different style of furniture than what you do out in the eastern suburbs for a,
for a family of five or something like
correct,
that.
Correct. So, so often, I mean, you know, and sometimes the agent has specific requirements as well. You know, or they give you a bit of a rundown or the situation, you know, behind the, you know, be sensitive. I mean, we always are very cautious and sensitive. Be sensitive. It's a, it's a divorce situation here, so you know, there'll be two parties that you have to deal with, you know, so there's always some politics behind it, or it's a deceased estate, you know what I mean,
so things that you need to be sensitive to. Also, what are even a design style like like, do you ever have to take in consideration things like feng shui and all of those sorts of,
not, well, I shouldn't say always, but a lot of the important time. And I've learned over time, you know, mirrors in the master bedrooms are a bad, not a good thing. Mirrors in the entrance, facing the front door, so all the good energy or what have you goes out. Because a lot of our market is oriental too. So,
yeah, so it's really important. And mindful of that. So you mentioned at the start, you know, the whole, I suppose, philosophy behind, or part of the philosophy behind home staging is to achieve a better sale price. So why do people look to style their homes? Is it purely about getting a better price? Or what are some of the other benefits associated with getting there? I dare say they get some tips and tricks for what they can do with their next joint as well.
Always. I mean, we often get, you know, comments, oh, you have to come to my next property. I want you to do exactly the same as what you've done here in my new home, et cetera. But so why, so sorry, your question was
It was
why?
Around the sale. It's all around achieving a better sales price.
Absolutely.
And have you any great stories that you can share with listeners in terms of some of the examples or outcomes that you've been able to get?
Absolutely. Like it is, look, you can't guarantee it, Mark. I mean, you can't guarantee anything. But one thing I can guarantee, if you professionally style your home, I guarantee you, you will get more buyers to your door. Okay, good images online will bring in more buyers.
It's the whole starting point. Yeah.
Think about it. You've got a few, you're looking at a property in Glen Waverley, for example. It's got to be 3-bedroom, 1 living. If you see one nicely presented, wouldn't you turn around to your wife and say, we've got to go see this one?
I just get told what to do, Georgia. So
I guarantee she'll look at the one that presents nicer than, say, the one that's down the road with full of clutter or empty. Empty is cold, uninviting. You can't visualize space. So therefore, you know, there's nothing to emotionally bond with. So they guarantee you will get more buyers to your door. Now, whether you get more, it depends. It depends. We have had many cases where a small investment in staging has bought 120, 150 above reserve, where the vendors never anticipated that they were in shock because of the way it's presented. Now, I always say it's not just the stylist, it's a team effort. Absolutely, the property has to be presented well. I mean, we can't just do miracles. If the property's grubby and the lawns are overgrown and the windows are filthy, well, no matter how nice your furniture is,
it's important.
It's not going to do it.
That's a good point. So, like, in terms of what do you advise sellers to do outside of what you're doing? What else can they do to support and assist
what
you do?
And that's what I do as well. So when I go out and quote a property, I say to them, look, you know, your gardens really need to be cleaned up, your windows.
So you mow the lawns and stuff as well? Oh,
you're right. Yeah, in my sleep. Yeah. In my sleep with all that spare time I have. So I've got a list of great contractors that I often recommend, so window cleaners, gardeners, etc. So, or a carpet cleaner, or sometimes it can even be change of carpets, like cheap carpet. It doesn't have to be expensive, because it
just
really
clean is, and smells and all what have you over the journey.
Some really inexpensive ways of updating your home can just make such a huge difference.
If you could nail just three of them, if you got an idea, if you three top tips for the listeners in terms of what they can do, whether they would engage a home stylist or stager or just do it on their own, what would be the top three things that you'd tell them to do?
Basically, your gardens.
Yep.
Just your basic home maintenance, no obvious cracks, broken tiles.
Get rid of all of the clutter, no doubt.
Get rid of all the clutter, absolutely. Yep. I mean, they are the main things, you know. Yep. Imperative. So if you've presented your home well, and let's say it's an empty property, you've cleaned up, you've cleaned windows, freshly painted, new carpets, whatever, and then we come in, it can, and then you, of course, you employ a great agent, a good agent.
Yeah.
So basically, a good team will bring about a fabulous result, and we've seen it many times.
Yeah. Okay. So let's, in terms of the cost. So you talk about, I suppose, the investment in home staging. What does it cost? There's obviously a range depending upon how much furniture you're putting into the place, the size, etc., etc. So talk us through the costings.
Yeah. So basically, our smallest packages start from around $2,300.
Yep.
And also another thing to keep in mind, that's for a 6 to 8 week sales campaign. We offer generally out there, You'll only, for that price, you'll only get 5 to 6 weeks rental.
So you'll do a longer period.
We always throw in an extra couple of weeks free of charge.
Okay.
So that's our smallest package, around the $2,000.
And does that also include, Georgia, what about the stuff that you've thrown out of mine? My blue couch that you've turned around and said, sorry, Mark, that's not going to fly.
Yeah.
What happens with that? Am I in charge of storing that somewhere else? Is that normally the case?
Yeah, generally I leave it up to the responsibility of the vendor.
Yep.
However, if they say, look, you know, I can't do it, can your removalist put it in the garage?
Yep.
We'll do things like that. But we don't or they employ my removalist to take the stuff to a storage facility.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, we can do that.
Yep.
But that's not a problem. I mean, that's an additional fee and they take that with the removalist.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, absolutely, we can help.
You don't store furniture, though, no.
No,
you,
God,
yeah,
I haven't got
you
enough
need
room.
As much space as you do for your
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. So to go back to your question, Mark, So basically, yeah, we started around 2-3.
Yep. How high do you go? What's the most expensive? Look. Like, what's the most expensive job that you've done? What's the biggest place, or if that's the case, that you've gone and styled?
Well, we're relatively reasonable. So, I mean, there's some phenomenal prices that people have paid out there. But for me, the most I've ever charged, and they're biggish homes, about 12 to 15,000.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I'm talking 5 living rooms.
That's top end sort of stuff.
5 bedrooms, al frescos, big outdoor dining, you know.
And so how much stuff then, like when you're talking about those sorts of, how much furniture and availability do you have? Like, or how much stock do you hold?
We've got a lot, and if we don't, we go out and buy.
We go out and
source. So it's demand supply, basically.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and your sourcing's all done. Is it done local? Is it done overseas? Is it?
I go through the middleman. I know a few wholesalers now. Sometimes we go retail. Retail can have some really good cheap bargains.
Yep.
Furniture places. It all depends. But predominantly, I've got a list of my wholesalers that supply me with furniture.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, so we range from traditional to contemporary.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? And everything in between.
Yeah, okay.
So we've got all styles to suit all needs.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. I'll throw you a question from left field, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What year do you reckon did the first series of The Block run? This will test
year?
You. What year?
Okay. Well, funnily enough, I'm not a really big fan of The Block.
So. Yeah. I haven't watched all of the series.
Do you know what I mean?
The reason I asked the question, like, it is over, right, 20 years.
No way.
Oh, it was 2003, 13 years ago. And the first series, let me ask you this question. You might know this one. Do you know who the host was back then?
No,
I thought you'd know the host. It was Jamie Drury. Jamie Drury is relatively popular with the women. Yeah, yeah.
No, of course.
Scott Cam does it now on the. Uh-huh. He has been doing it for quite a while.
Of course, Jamie Drury. Started all these.
Well, he was very popular. And the point of my whole story, I suppose, is that over the last sort of 15 years, this focus, whether it's the block, whether it's renovation, all those sorts of things, it's just front and center, and it's on our TV screen much more now.
Correct.
And I understand that with home staging, you're not knocking down walls, etc. But some of the emotional reactions that you've seen, and I know some of those shows have been doing it for people that can't afford to change their homes and renovate, etc. But some of those reactions have been priceless over the journey. Even though you're not knocking down walls, I dare say you've got some great stories of some of the reactions that you could share with the listeners about when they've come back into their home after you've put your touches on it. Mm-hmm. Have you got any of those you can share?
Oh, look, I mean, there are a few, but there's a couple that come to mind. And there was one young lady, she was selling her home, and we called her in and we said, yeah, look, we're done. And every room she'd walk into, she was squealing, and the squeal would get louder and louder. And I thought, is she putting this on?
Were you being set up or something like that?
Seriously, because I'd never seen a reaction like that. And then a few tears, and she was squealing, and oh my God. And it was really dramatic. Even the staff kind of stopped and thought, is this a put on? So we have had reactions like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and other vendors turn around and say to me, geez, Georgia, if I didn't already own this property, I'd consider buying it. Things like that. And more often than not, oh, I don't know if I want to sell anymore.
Yeah.
Why couldn't I have it looking like this? I'm mixed emotions now. Do we really sell or should we just stay here? So, you get that. You get all kinds of stories. But
it's funny you should say that, because we actually had an experience. We sold one of our investment properties. It was my wife's first property, and we sold that around about a year or so ago. And we went through the process of having it, because it was an investment property. The tenants had moved out, etc. And so we had some furniture placed into it. And there's no doubt that the property was starting to get a little bit more tired. It was only about 8-9 years old, but it was tired, wear and tear, etc. And as soon as the new furniture furniture went in, my wife turned around and said, oh, do we really need to get rid of it?
I said,
yeah, unless you're going to go back to work. Yeah, we need to get rid of it. No, I didn't.
And I've got one almost identical to that, just very quickly.
Yeah.
I had my daughter with me, this is a few years back now, and a personal property that we'd styled.
Yep.
And I walked into it just to get some measurements and that, and she said, oh, this place is horrible. I'm going to go and sit in the car. I said, all right, you go sit in the car while Mum measures up and gets some thoughts together. Anyway, long story short, we styled the property. She happened to be with me weeks later. I was driving through.
Yep.
She walked and she said, oh, Mummy, I could actually live here.
Yeah.
Now, from going to, I'm going to go and sit in the car.
Yeah.
And then the afterthought was, Mum, I could actually live here. This looks nice. So perfect example from a young kid.
Do you know what I mean? Well, and she's also, that would be quite rewarding to have. Say, hey, Mum, you're pretty good at what you're doing.
Yeah, we didn't quite get that compliment, but you never do.
Kids.
But that's right. So.
Well, thank you very much for your time. As I said at the start, I understand that you're very, very busy. You've been kind enough to put forward a little special offer, I believe, for the month of October.
Yes.
For listeners of our podcast or for clients of Finance Bar, throw that out to the guys and we'll let them know how they can cash in on that offer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So for any of the clients or listeners of for Finance Path, we're happy for the month of October. So for any bookings for the month of October, we're happy to offer a 10% discount.
Fantastic. So how do they get in contact with you?
They can
jump on the website,
jump online, call us. We've got a 1-300 number.
Okay. So give us the number. What is it? Give us the website. What's the website?
www.designstoinspire.com.
And that's T-O, not two?
No, that's correct.
T-O. I thought you creative designs, types might have chucked in a little number in between letters.
No. Some do, but not us. Yep. So, yeah, designstoinspire.com.au. Otherwise, you can call our 1300 number, which is 1300-883-762, and we'll take your calls, come out, meet with you, give you a quotation. There's no obligation whatsoever. You don't have to feel that you need to commit to it.
Yep. And I will give you a little plug here on top of that. The feedback that we've had from clients that have utilised your service is very much that it's a hands-off. It's certainly no push, et cetera. And if nothing else, if they decide to not even put their place on the market, they'll possibly learn some stuff along the way.
We always give them little tips and ideas.
Yeah, great.
On how to present for sale or for wanting just to live in their home and make it look.
And so listeners, also jump onto our website, www.financepath.com.au. The guys have also provided us with a little blog that covers off a bit of what we've talked about today and also some other tips and tricks around home staging. So thanks again for your company. I look forward to catching up with you in another fortnight, and hopefully you'll be listening to a bloke that's actually got his voice. Thanks again for joining us, Joy.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
No problems. Cheers.
Cheers.
For more information about this podcast or to ask a burning question, visit www.financepath.com.au/podcasts.